No, that's good. Chuck, you know, where's Chuck? There he is. You know, we talked about how dramas can help Scripture come alive. You know, I don't think that the disciples were much different than the kids when they heard what we're getting ready to hear. Yeah. So it's probably pretty good. As Jesus understood what was before him, his last meal with his followers before his arrest and torture, crucifixion, and ultimately his death and resurrection. John shares many of these important conversations, but this teaching in particular comes, Jesus is sharing with those disciples that were didn't even know what was about to be ahead of them. But yes, Jesus is helping them try to understand what's already come to place and how life moving forward will look. So he shares the parable that Pam shared with the children. Jesus said, and by the way, this is really exciting for the hearers because Israel had always been known as the vine. When Israel wrote about itself with God and talking about how God worked, you know, the chosen people, you know, we're the vine. So Jesus, when he starts this, already knows something's up. Listen, he says, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have been speaking to you. So abide in me as I abide in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch that withers. Such branches are just gathered and bundled and thrown into the fire. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Anybody see the Avengers movie yet? Come on. If you did, yeah, that's good. Anybody who has ever seen an Avengers/superhero movie? I even include Superman and Batman and all that. Okay, so we got some familiarity. That's good. The newest leg of the Marvel Universe and blockbuster movies and greatest sales ever, all of that that's going to be happening, started this week. And I'm a fan. Love to go to them. Hooked into the whole series. But the thing that makes these superhero movies so attractive to us in the comic books and, quite frankly, any story that you've ever read that was real, that was well written and is engaging, the essence of the characters are how and why we like it or connect to it is because the characters in some form or fashion are relatable to us, right? That oh, I know how that feels, or oh, I can imagine that. And in the case of the superheroes, while they have amazing powers and technology, and one's even a Norse demigod, I mean, all sorts of things they can do, run fast, almost indestructible. The thing that we love about them is their human, oh, we'll say weaknesses. For instance, there's one character called the Hulk. Anybody ever seen the Hulk? Turns big and green and smashes everything and is, oh man, he's just somewhere out there. Why does he turn green and get mean? Because his other character, Bruce Banner, gets what? Angry. Have we ever been angry where we felt like we're going to turn big and green and mean, and if we could be bigger and greener and meaner, then the highways would be a cleaner, safer place as we smashed all the cars in front of us? Right? So we can relate, right? We're not turning into the Hulk, but we can relate to anger issues. So that's kind of cool. We connect, yeah. Or Tony Stark, who's Iron Man. He's wealthy and seems to have it all together and brilliant. And you know what? Every single thing he tries to do to fix everything, not in a comical way, but in a very serious way, it goes awry. It doesn't do what it's supposed to do. It creates more damage than good. Have we ever been in a place where the best efforts we have, the plans, especially when we try to get other people's lives fixed, the best that we do, all of a sudden they go a different way? We can relate to that, can't we? I mean, it's frustrating. So yeah, I get that. Boy, you're trying so hard, but it just never seems to work. Or in fact, we can relate to his loneliness. All the money, all the power, all the technology, but he can never feel part of the group. He's alone. And we can relate to loneliness. Those are just some of the qualities in humanness or the foils that we relate to. So great power, and yet these what we think are weaknesses or at least obstacles to the greater goal. And if anything else, we can relate to obstacles to getting the bigger picture done. As Christians, why isn't it that we're just all, look what Jesus has done, why don't we have it all together yet? Anybody ever feel that way? I mean, that's a superhero Avenger question. One good icebreaker, especially works great in youth groups, but I love it in all sorts of places, is this one. And see, if you could have a superpower, what superpower would you choose? How about you? Superpower. What superpower? Anybody can give me one. If you could have a superpower, what would you choose? Flying. That's a good one. I like flying myself. How great would that be in traffic to just go, right? Awesome. What else? What's another superpower you might choose? Invisible. To be invisible. Woo. We'll have to talk about that one. What is that? No, I'm just kidding. Well, that's a good one. Yeah, to be invisible and just be, what else? To be fast. What else? Strength, be almost invincible, so super strong. Somebody else has mentioned in the other service to be able to read minds or to be able to be telepathic with things. Any others? I mean, those, you get the idea, right? There's something about in our life, either to deal with something that we feel we could do better, to compensate for something we feel is a weakness, whatever the case is, to have some power would be great. But yet we know that power in us would be still somewhat limited by our humanness. Is that fair? I mean, what's that?
Not forgiving.
No. To be forgiving would be a great superpower. By the way, there's a way to get that superpower. We'll talk about it. No, you're right. But seriously, to know what we're supposed to do or the way that we really want to be, could we have a superpower that enables that in an area where we feel, gosh, how do I do that on my own? So that's perfect, because they're not just amazing physical things, but it's also within our own life and in the way that we live or the things that we want to accomplish or feel we should. In any event, what is clear in the Avengers movies and in Scripture and in all the good stories that you'll ever read is something like this. These powers are only interesting in the sense as they connect with other people. Right? In other words, the superheroes, the Avengers, they have great powers, but it's not until Iron Man goes to save somebody that we get interested. It's not until those powers equate to building community or helping or sometimes destroying that they become something that we want to pay attention to. And even the Avengers themselves, the great storyline behind it is, with all of this ability, they are each individuals, and the great struggle for them to come together and to unite is the heart of their strength. They can overcome the obstacles only when they sort of die to self and become united. Then all of their strengths come together. Does that sound sort of familiar? It sounds sort of biblical a little bit. But the good thing they do in the Avengers is that those moments of coming together never seem quite complete. Even if they have victories, there's still a sense that they don't quite get it along. And man, is that not the church? Is that not the church where we feel, and we have Easter, we can have these things, we come and go, it feels so good to be the church this way. And then, but it seems like we're holding on at best sometimes, right? Because our other things pull us in this way or that way, or our own preferences. And, why can't we just feel this way all the time? Except I don't want to feel that way all the time because I got stuff to do. Are you fair that tension? And the Avengers, they never solve that, which is good because in the church, we have the same challenge. Now, you're right if you say that there are no Avengers stories in the Bible, right? But I will promise you this, there's probably a version of the Gospel according to the Avengers coming out somewhere soon to buy, but haven't seen it yet. But I'm talking about superheroes because this is what Jesus is talking about with his disciples in this passage this morning. And he uses the metaphor of branches and vines and pruning and fruit and all sorts of soil and all sorts of things that, well, they're horticulture. And quite honestly, if the only thing I have to work with is horticultural images, I'm afraid I will kill it in a week. Anybody else have that trouble with plants that they don't quite make it all the way? A little challenging for us. So we presume this society knew all about how to grow things, but we know that's not true. Some of us are good growers, some of us are not. But how we come around these ideas and look at our life is important wrestling with the scriptures. But let's take just a couple minutes to look at this metaphor, this parable about vines and branches in order to see how they work. Because ultimately, what I might get out of it first is that if you're going to have a superpower based on this metaphor, it's to be super clingy. A super clingy branch, which, by the way, the superheroes do have Groot, who is a branch, which I love that. But let's do this. Jesus said, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes the branches that don't bear fruit. He prunes the ones that do so that they do better. He goes on to say, you and I, we need to abide in me, live in me, and I'll live in you. And this is the essential relationship. But what I want Jesus to say, first of all, is that be whoever you want to be in the story. Jesus, in other words, Jesus, just tell me you'll be whoever I need you to be. Because that feels good. That means that there's parts that are open for soil and trees and branches. Just let me pick my part too in this story. Because I may not want to be a branch. I may want to be the soil or something. You get me? This it kind of hems us in a little bit. But the truth is, this parable does not let us pick who we want to be. Jesus says quite clearly, your role is to be a branch. That's it. A grapevine is what we get. We don't even get some fancy flower, some exotic plant. We get vines that are tangled, that are weird. That where does a vine stop and the branch start? Who knows? You see what I'm saying? They're messy and they get up into stuff. And quite honestly, if we have to be a branch on a vine, how are we going to get credit for all the good stuff that we do if nobody can tell if we're a branch or a vine? You see the problem? We need credit, don't we? So this whole mess of church that where vines entangled and messy and bushy-ish and vine-ish and jangled, that's Christianity. That's what Jesus gives us. That Christianity is viney and branchy and jumbled, and that it is not about a do-it-yourself kind of thing. And man, this one, how many of you ever go on the do-it-yourself channel in order to find out how not to kill your plants? Yeah, I've been there, right? Or to build something. Christianity, this image doesn't let us be about do-it-yourself. In fact, it's just the opposite. It says that this is about community. This is about coming together differently. It reminds us that we're dependent upon God and one another. Who is the only person acting in this whole parable, by the way? Who's the actor? Who's doing something? Did you listen carefully? Well, it doesn't matter. I'm not challenging like you didn't listen. Listen, God is the one who acts. Jesus goes, what am I? I'm a vine. What are we? We're branches. Who's doing the growing? God. Who's doing the pruning? God. Who's bearing the fruit? Who's making the fruit bear? Who determines what fruit it is? God. In all of this, God is the actor, and that's just the opposite of do-it-yourself Christianity, where we think we're supposed to be doing and doing and fixing and directing, and this says, no, it's just absolutely the opposite, disciples. So look, we're created for a need of connecting, relationship building, but yet the trouble is this, is that we are profoundly disconnected. You know what disconnected is, right? You can feel disconnected from family, from other things. You can feel disconnected from Jesus. You can feel disconnected from the world. There's all sorts of disconnecting. How many of you like it when your phone service doesn't work? You can't get on the internet. You ever feel disconnected that way? It's no fun, is it? No, but that disconnecting is the challenge. But Jesus says to be connected is the only thing that gives us purpose in life. It's the only way to find our power, to discover our relationship, to know how to connect is through Jesus. And so God has given us in this whole passage, is the Holy Spirit is coming and filling you. Jesus says, abide in me, live in me, trust me, let me live through you. Don't do something, let me be in you and you in me so that out of that relationship, God can do amazing things. That's the role. But it's hard, so let's just, a couple things. What does it mean to be a branch? What does it mean to be a branch? We say in this parable to stay connected to God, to be connected to Jesus. But how does that work? 15 times Jesus says, abide in me, live in me, stay in me. be related. But what does that feel like? How do you be a branch? What is a branch's really only job, according to this parable? Is to what? Cling to, hold on to, don't let go of whom? Jesus. And allow Jesus to hold on tight to us. Do you ever think about your faith that the heart of being a Christian, to be a disciple, is about focusing on holding on to Jesus, not what you do or how you act or what you say or how you influence other people? That's secondary. That's God's work. Our work is to be focused on holding on to whom? Jesus. We got to cling. We got to hold on to. How much of our energy in the day is focused on that? How much of our life in what we do and say is based in how am I connected to Jesus? I mean, if we had a little bar on our phone that showed, you know, how many bars connected to Jesus, that would be awesome, wouldn't it? Because we could really tell when we're out of space. But that's what Jesus says. Just keep thinking about that. Keep connecting. Keep living. How do we do that? We read the Word. We pray. We be in community. We make not only being part of church a priority, but all the things we do wrapped in and connected to. Because Jesus says, you can't do anything without me. What? I do lots of stuff. It's like a branch. Throw it in the fire and burn it up. Because if it doesn't come through Christ, in the big picture of things, it is irrelevant. And it is disconnecting you from God. So staying connected is the job of a branch. Our life involves that. And Jesus says, if you'll just do that, I'll promise I'll be with you. You promise to be with me the best that you can. I'll not let you go. You hang in there. Focus on that end versus the outcome end. All right? But what about this pruning stuff? Right? Briefly on pruning. Who's doing the pruning? God's doing the pruning. How much pruning are you supposed to do? None. Well, what about other people? Aren't you supposed to prune them? I mean, can't you tell by your superpower who's good and bad and who's doing the right thing and the wrong thing? And can't we judge everything in the world and every person by if they would just do this or if they would stop doing that, they'd be good. Man, we got pruning shears the size of a state. But God says, stop it. Don't do that. You're not about pruning. How in the world could you possibly prune? You don't even know what's going on in your own life. And by the way, pruning is not about getting rid of stuff in your own life. Well, if I, the self-made Christian, could just figure out everything and prune what's bad and good, then I would be very close to Jesus. Jesus goes, he says, no, God does a pruning. You hold on to me, and I'll hold on to you. I'll take care of the pruning. And you know where pruning comes from? It's in this passage. Jesus said to his disciples, you are pruned or cleansed by the word. It's the same word. Pruning comes from the Word of God. Be in the Scriptures, read, and allow the Word of God to shape you, because what you'll discover is true pruning is this, and you've had this experience. Something in your life used to be the priority, and as you got older or more deeply rooted in your faith in Christ, something of the sizzle of doing that thing, not because it was good or bad, but just because it was in the way, diminishes. And you go, wow, I feel better. I used to watch TV 10,000 hours a day. But then I started getting in the Word. You know what? TV's okay, but I don't live for it anymore. You've just been pruned. Ha, that sounds good. You've been pruned. That's a new TV show too, isn't it? So this is the point. So God does that work. He does the pruning. How much more relaxed can you be if you just go, you know, it's not my job to fix everybody else. Could you just say that, please? It's not my job to fix everybody else. Wow. What a peace and joy. All right. And finally, maybe this one. We obsess about the fruit. The kids were doing, what kind of fruit do we get to be? I don't know, you know. How much fruit do we produce? If I could just produce enough really good fruit, high quality fruit, then Jesus would have to love me and I don't need his grace and love. If I could just be a good enough Christian and prove to God, then I don't have to worry that he's done something for me. We're like even buds. Anybody do that? If I can just be a good enough church person, if I can just prove, if I can work hard enough, if I can produce the kind of, and by the way, I know what good fruit is, because I'm really smart and Jesus doesn't know all that stuff. No, the gospel says this. It says, look, God produces fruit and it doesn't matter. Pam is right that some fruit is the fruit of the Spirit, but that's not all the fruit. God's making whatever fruit he wants to make through you. And you don't even get to know what it is because it's not important because you're a branch. Is it bad? No, it's good. And then I'm going fast. We got communion. Trust me. Stay with me. Right? It's good because what you'll find is purpose and direction and power in being connected to Jesus. And it'll be irrelevant to you what kind of fruit is produced, because all you'll know is God is working through you, and you will have arrived and found a sense of your purpose. And if there is something in our life that even the superheroes wrestle with, what is my purpose? I promise, cling to Jesus and allow him to work through you, and it will be so present and clear in you, you didn't even know it was happening. And you will find peace and joy and the love of discipleship. Stop obsessing about the fruit. You don't prove it. You don't make it. You don't even know what good fruit is. So quit worrying about it. Just abide. You don't do anything if you're disconnected. So here's the promise. This is not a threat. Jesus doesn't go, you're going to get thrown in the fires of hell because you don't abide. He's saying, look, your life is so beautiful and wonderful. When it's connected, it is awesome. And you feel great, and life is amazing, and the world is better. And when you're disconnected, you feel almost useless. And I'll bring you back, and I'll bring you back, and back. But the only way that you have purpose and the things that you think are important in your life are the ones that come through me. But just trust me on that one. And finally, this week, we said abide. But that's not the whole part. The last little line I read said ask. And here's where it gets kind of fun. Jesus says, if you abide in me, then whatever you ask, I'll give you. Wow, that's next week. We got to abide first. So abide like you mean it. Abide like you mean it. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Lord, help us to be freed from the obstacles that we create, to be reconnected from our desire to keep disconnecting ourselves. Relieve us from the burden of pruning and allow our lives to be shaped in the holy and loving spirit that you've placed within us. And above all things, help us to simply cling to you who brings us and gives us life. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you, as we move into communion, to think about the prayer concerns that are in the bulletin. Consider what it is in your life that God is shaping and empowering as you connect. I also lift up the family of Christian Stanley Little and also Pete Keel. And I know there are others. Will you take just a moment as the choir helps us to kind of let those fill our hearts, please? Gracious, loving Lord, the opportunity to abide in you, the invitation, the power, the promise, your very presence among us, we give you thanks and praise. We confess our practices of disconnecting. Not only do we receive your forgiveness, but help us to connect to others as well, that we would find this wholeness in you. When we look at a world that is seeming to cut us in every place with dissension and disaster, remind us to cling to you. The pruning comes from a life of love lived in your word, not from the outside circumstances. Remind us to allow the love that shapes us to simply feed the life that you've created, that we would find peace and grace together. And live all of that in the way that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's respond to the great news that the Lord has given us in our tithes and offerings. Just loving Lord, allow this moment of offering to remind us that you dwell in us, provide all we need, and when we live this way together with you, all that you've produced goes to bear the good fruit of your kingdom. May this be the case in our lives as well. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. If those who are helping with communion would come this way, please. Well, for the next couple minutes, I guess I'll give you a little bit of a challenge, maybe an invitation. What would it mean to abide in Christ and to not worry about all of those other things for just a few minutes? For just a few minutes to wonder what it would be like in the sacrament that Jesus has given for us, that we simply seek to allow Christ to move in our lives. That we receive the sacrament, and we actually, as Jesus has given, we ingest He in us and us in Him. Embrace that. Embrace that sense of spirit and freedom that comes with that. Practice clinging for the next few minutes as we share the great gift that Christ has given for us. For on the night in which He was about to be arrested and gave His life for us, He took bread at the meal with His disciples, and He broke the bread, and He said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Every time you're together, share and remember in this way." He might have said, "Abide this way." And likewise, at that supper, He took the cup, and he gave thanks to you, and He shared this with His disciples, and said, "This is my blood, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Each time you drink this way, remember this connection. Abide with me." And so we pray the Holy Spirit would make for us these gifts of bread and wine be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we, abiding in Christ, would be transformed, the body and blood, so that we would be the body in this world, proclaiming, living, bearing the fruit that God has called us to, abiding deeply and richly as God in Christ and us in Christ, live in the peace and joy of His promise. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's see, so...